Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Face Us with Robin and Lulu and Marcy. And tonight, we have quite the show for you. We're going to be talking about, is guardianship identity theft? This idea first came to us when we were talking with Marty Oakley. And today is April 25th, 2018. and it's a roundtable discussion. We're going to have all of you invited to come in and make comment and put your input. But
well, we have, first of all, I'm Lulu.
And I'm Robin.
Let's get that out of the way first. Also, I just want to say in Colorado, there was a recent bill that was signed into law. It was about public administrators. They'll have a 100K bond instead of a 25K bond. It's a very small step, you know, for these unethical public administrators, but it's a start, and we'll take anything we can get
it's
right now.
It's a beginning, but you know, it should be over. The bond really should be in accordance with the value of the property that they handle.
Right.
That would protect the people whose property they're handling. This does add a little bit more protection than they did have, but it's certainly still extremely weak compared to the size of the problem.
Right, and the bill was called Requirements for Public Administrators and Deputies Bill SB 18-165, Colorado Assembly. You can look at the bill there. Not much else to talk about. I mean, according to that bill, I mean, it's not really going to do too much for the large estates at all, but they just wanted to put a big, you know, a small Band-Aid on it, I feel.
Well, I think what we're seeing is that the effect of Face Us and many of the other groups, there's many groups that are also bringing attention to the issue of court fraud, and in particular the probate court fraud and family court fraud. I think that we're beginning to see some desire on the part of our legislators to look good to those voters who are being taken advantage of the courts. They don't want to be seen as the enemy. They want to be seen as friends. So they want to do something for those of us that are victims, because they realize that that's a growing statistic. There's more and more people every day. And they would like to have those people voting for them. But if they are perceived as not helping, and that's becoming more and more something that becomes something that they're not going to get voted back in, because people will see it and hear it. It'll be publicized by people like us, and that is not going to serve them well when it comes time for re-election if they haven't done something to help these people. So I think they're trying to do something to help, but this is really a very small Band-Aid on a very large cancer that's on the face of the judicial branch of our government. And I'm happy to see that they're trying to do something that will help, but this is a very small amount of help.
I know, but I guess we'll take what we can get. And I think in June is coming as a public comment period for the Supreme Court about probate court fraud. I'm not sure if we'll be able to attend that, but we're going to try to get everybody here in Colorado to attend that. So I'm going to be sending out emails on that, so we can let people know that they should speak in front of a new Supreme Court justice. I guess Nancy Rice is stepping down, and we have, I think his name is Ben Coates or something like that. But they say he's a pretty honest Supreme Court justice that's going to be coming to us, so we're pretty excited about that one. Anyway, the show tonight, we're going to be talking about, boy, and this is a big topic. We get a lot of inquiry about this. Is guardianship identity theft? Are we protecting people when you take someone's bank accounts, their money and assets, take their voice away? Is this identity theft? What would you call it? strangers are now in control. So let's talk about the guardianship over one's life, how it should be. And so we also talk about...
When we assume control of someone's resources, as, you know, when we look at someone and say, well, they can't really handle things, and institute a guardianship, and then you have this person who begins to say, well, they need protection, so I'm coming in and protecting them. Well, that's all well and good, I understand so far, but where is the line between protecting someone and predation when you start to prey on them? I think when we assume control of their resources and lives and strip them of all decision-making, all ability to rule over their own lives, it's just extremely brutal way to handle a person with who's having difficulties, to take from them all of their liberty and all of their freedom and all of their property and all of their resources and hand it over to someone else. Now, that in itself is kind of a terrible thing, but then when the someone else turns out to be a predator who's looking out for number one, and they don't care about the person that whose property they own now, and they've just been handed all this property that they now own, and they don't care about that person. They pretty much, you know, when that person is one who says, okay, how can I best spend as little of this money on this person as possible and keep as much of this money as I can for myself, my purposes, that's wrong.
We see it very often,
very, very wrong. And what can we do to stop it? That's
right.
that's the question that we have to ask.
And it's a big question. It's really big because we get these calls constantly coming in to face us, and they're saying, "What do I do? My family's been put into my mother's been into guardianship. My father's been put into guardianship. The kids are have lost all their inheritances. I'm not allowed to see my parents.
Well, my kids have been taken away from me and put in a special school that where they're abusing them. They're being, you know, it's not a healthy situation, and they won't let me visit with my kids. They won't let me see my kids. They, you know, my these are all the stories that we hear from people where someone that they love is essentially taken prisoner."
Mm-hmm.
We're treating people as though they have committed a crime, when what the reality is that they need our help and assistance.
Right, and since when is it a crime for turning old?
Everyone needs assistance at some point in their life.
Yeah.
Does that mean that everyone in their life should have someone come in and lock them up and take everything from them and blow all their money? That's just not right. That's just not the way we need to be doing this. And the guardianship system is badly broken. But we all acknowledge that. In this show, we hear the stories every week, month after month, year after year. And we know that this system as it is broken. So how can we fix it? What is it that we want? Well, we want a guardian who comes in and truly does have the best interest of that person at heart. You want a person who loves that person. That would be the most ideal.
Yeah.
Because when you love someone, you try to do what is good for them. You try to take care of them. You try to make sure that they're okay and make sure they've got enough nutrition and get the right foods and taking whatever medicines that are needed for their health. These are the things that you try to do for those that you love.
Right. Well, they're supposed to be in protecting that person.
Right.
They're supposed to be protecting their property, protecting their rights. They're supposed to become just their protector. And this is, in many cases, this is not happening. You know, I'll tell my story of being a guardian later on in the show, because I myself am a great guardian, and people need to look up at us and really learn from us, because I think my sister and I, we've done a wonderful job.
Well,
I mean, of us being a guardian, because we love our mother, and everybody has the God-given right to take care of their mother and their finances and your family. And this has been literally taken away all over the nation. You know, since when is it a crime to love your mother and her write you a checkout for some diapers or whatever? And then now they turn that into a crime, especially if you have a trust fund. You're not allowed to give any of that money to nobody whatsoever. And if you do, they'll say that you have had malfeasance, and then they can take away your trust, and this goes on and on and on.
Now, that's not to say that it's not a problem
right.
when you have someone who is persuading an older person to, you know, to do things that are not in their best interest. I mean, I have seen situations where some family member comes in and persuades an older person who's maybe had some issues with brain function, maybe had a ischemic incident that is a problem with circulation in the brain that causes a part of the brain not to work. A stroke is a serious ischemic incident. But in those situations, you really are dealing with someone who's vulnerable. And there are those who will take advantage and say, oh, gosh, you know, hey, Mom, you need somebody to help you, and I'm your man, and I'll look after you. Just give me the checkbook. And they, you know, begin to drain the resources and use it for themselves and feed their own family and take care of their own kids. That's, you know, these trespasses against someone can be severe, and they do happen in families. And in a situation where you have that kind of thing, it may be necessary to somehow, you've got to stop that person from exploiting in a harmful way their so-called loved ones, because you can't just let somebody be abused and exploited. But the problem is that the court system will come in, and if you get the court system involved, then it may be that one family that I know had a brother that had taken big family, lots of brothers and sisters. One brother in particular grabbed the mom and said, you only should trust me, Mom. Everyone else is stealing from you. And then he proceeded to steal from her at the rate of about 10 grand a month just so he could live high on the hog with his girlfriend. And they were spending the money that really belonged to the family and was that mother's property that was coming into her, and it was a way of maliciously attacking both her and the family because he was angry and wanted to have it all for himself and felt that he should have it all for himself and was going to, by God, take it. And in a situation like that, it's you're well within your rights to try to rescue that person from the abuse that they're enduring on a day-by-day basis. So there is sometimes a need for someone to step in. The problem being that when you initiate a court proceeding to do that, oftentimes the court won't see it the way the family sees it. You may look at the family and go, gosh, you know, these three sisters all live near Mom. They share the responsibility for taking care of her. They're very good at it. They all love her. They're all trying to help her preserve everything that she's got and grow her wealth and be comfortable and well taken care of in her old age. And the court will look at the situation and say, none of that matters. There's conflict in the family, so we're going to put court officials involved. Mm-hmm. And once the court officials are involved, then the whole dynamic changes because they are not really interested in any of the things that are good for that person or that family. They are interested in the minimum amount of work that they have to do the basic fundamentals of their job so that no one can say, well, that's you're fired, you're not doing your job. So, and they want to do it as efficiently as possible so that they can keep so they can do what they're supposed to do, which is conserve the wealth of that individual. But oftentimes you find that their real goal is something different, and they come in, the court appoints a guardian, a conservator, and it turns out that the conservator really has none of the goals of the family in mind, none of the goals of that person in mind, but their own personal goals. And they look at the property as something to be liquidated, and they liquidate it. And they turn it all into cash, and they look at the family, and they know that there's been a conflict that brought it into court. Mm-hmm. So the court brings the money in to the court, and begins to recognize the fact that this family is in conflict. There are people that are fighting. The court hands over the money to a conservator. The first thing they do is get the money away from the family, as a general rule. I mean, in these corrupt courts, it's certainly one of the first things they do is get the money away from the family, mm-hmm. into the court, and then hold that money as a pool from which the court will draw to pay every single attorney that comes to court and says, oh, I represent some member of the family. Oh, I represent so-and-so. Oh, I represent the interests of this person that you've got as a ward. And of course, all they have to do is go to the judge, and if the judge is willing to play ball, then now they've got a court title. They're a court administrator, right. Or they're a guardian ad litem, or they're a guardian with limited powers, or they're a guardian, or they're conservator. There's right. all kinds of, or they're a court-appointed attorney, and all of a sudden you've got seven people that are drawing down at $100 or $200 or $300 or $400 an hour.
Right.
That fund that was being used to take care of that person, and they call this guardianship. They call it guarding them and conservatorship, conserving their assets. There's nothing about guarding them or conserving them in this process that actually helps that person when there's a better solution, which is to say, okay, well, I see in this situation, you have this person in this family that is destructive to the health of that individual. We've got to remove that person from a position of authority,
right.
and allow the family then to function. And that's all. That's all. That's all that the court needs to do
right.
to allow that family to go on. But it's not all they're going to do.
Right.
And
of course,
we know that. You
it's
know,
true. We've heard enough stories. We've done 2 years of radio shows on this, and it's a huge topic. It really is. And we're going to bring Marcy in. Marcy, are you with us?
Yeah, I am here with you. How's everybody?
Ah. Hi, how you doing?
Hi. Great conversation.
What do you think about this guardianship? What do you think is identity theft?
Well, let's put it this way. If I went to a lawyer when I was in the right mind and I prepare a will and I had a bank account with my children's name as or and with rights of survivorship, and then if I got Alzheimer's and dementia, and my mind started failing with confusion, dissolution, displacing things. And all of a sudden, one of my children would go to try to protect me. And then if it's taken away from me, I would have to say that my life was violated. Yes, I would say that it was identity theft. And I would think anybody would agree with that. Because when you do something, when you're in your right mind, and then when you are no longer in the right mind, it gets taken away from you, I would feel like, because you don't know what's real and not real. And so I would think that would be identity theft. Yeah, this is what's happening with all these people that I'm talking to, that their directives are being violated. They're not okay to handle their finances, but they're okay to decide whether they should go to the doctor or not, or where they should live one day. You know, and they're easily manipulated, and I would think that it would be identity theft. I mean, I would have to legally look that up, but I'm not a lawyer, but I have common sense, and I would say I wouldn't want that happening to me if my mind was incoherent and I wasn't thinking in the right mind. And how can you be in the right mind for one thing and not the other? It would confuse even a person with their marbles. You know, so I think it's identity theft. I would feel violated if somebody did that to me and my children, and I would feel victimized. Yeah, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Yeah, I think when you have a situation where someone has property and value, you know, they have all the outward accoutrements of the work that they've done for a lifetime. And that is their property, what they've owned, what they've built, what the fruit of their labors has brought them. That is theirs. That by rights goes with them and is a part of what their resources that they have developed, that they have put together, that has come from the labor of their hands and the work of their hearts and the loves of their hearts. Sometimes people inherit from those they love. And this has, you know, these things we think of as just, as something that is just for a person who loves someone very dearly, and because that person has been with them, has worked with them, has been kind to them, has helped them with things, has done things with them, because perhaps that person is their own in terms of having sprung from their loins. It's their own progeny, their own offspring, their own child. That person has the right and privilege. We all think that it is just, that it is the right and privilege of that person to say to that other, hey, look, if something happens to me, I want you to have this. And
right.
That is what it is. When you go and you prepare papers with a lawyer or whatever, you know, you don't, it's to have papers that will hold up in court, I think you probably should have a lawyer, but then we've discovered that very, very often the papers that are drafted by a lawyer don't hold up in court. So, you know, that's no guarantee, but it makes sense to do it that way, despite that particular problem. But once you have done all of that, then you have these directives that say, this is what my will is, should it happen that I can't tell you my will. Should it happen that I lose the capacity to speak or lose the capacity to express myself clearly, now while I'm expressing myself clearly, this is what I want. This is the things that I want to happen at that time. That's your effort, your energy, your life force, dealing with your property and your resources for someone else to come in and then dishonor those documents and say, we're not going to follow those. I think that's a very clear-cut case. Where they say, well, instead of doing what you have asked us to do, what this is you. You've chosen to do this. This is your identity.
Right.
Instead of doing those things, I now have been empowered by this person in a black robe, and I am now going to use those resources as my own. I am now going to do with you what I will. I have this responsibility to the person that gave me all of your property to take care of you, but he really doesn't care, or she really doesn't care how well I take care of you. Just that I do the basic job and pretend like I'm doing a good job, so they can say, "Oh, I did a good thing by giving this person this guardian." And you know, half the time they don't even have to pretend that they're doing a good job. They just get the job and lock the person away and feed them as little as possible and starve them
away.
To death. Take
right.
their animals away.
Mm-hmm.
Take their plants away. Make sure that it's a low rate of pay necessary to keep the minimum care for that person.
Barely.
And kill them.
Barely.
Paid everything that person owns and hourly wages as well. Oftentimes that's how it works out, and there's nothing right about that. That is most serious. You know, if I've taken your stuff and I'm using it as my own, that's identity theft.
Well,
if I'm taking your identity and going to banks and claiming that bank account is now mine, that type of anything. The
insurance
companies, needs of that insurance is now mine.
Right.
That's identity theft.
Well, also in the dictionary it says identity theft is the fraudulent acquisition and use of a person's private identifying information, usually for financial gain. Identity theft is the crime of using another person's personal information, credit history, or other identifying characteristics in order to make purchases, borrow money without that person's permission. Okay? A lot of these people that are put into guardianship have no say-so whatsoever.
No, the judge gives permission, and so the judge has robbed that person of their identity by saying, I will give permission for them. You see, the judge doesn't have that power except it be given to them by that person saying, I want you to do this for me.
Right.
That would be the only real just way for that judge gain that power.
Yeah, and now if anybody is listening to us and they want to key on with us, just call into our number. The number is 1-845-241-9962, and I'll repeat that again. It's 1-845-241-9962. You press a 1, and that will raise your hand that you want to get in on this conversation. You will be live on the air, and if you do not want to reveal your name, you do not have to. We don't put that pressure on anybody here on our shows because I know how it is for people to be under guardianship or they have loved ones under guardianship and they're, in fear of retaliation. Now, retaliation is big with this also. That's another big problem that we have with that. So it all works hand in hand. So, we talk a lot about, the identity theft, but I truly believe that is what guardianship has turned into for the unethical probate courts. There's no other words for it, why a person has to suddenly be taken like a prisoner and everything is taken away from them is just not right. When I go into the nursing home and I see my mother and I see all these vulnerable people there that really need the help and the love of others, and to know that these people could be treated unethically and their property's gone, everything they've worked for is not going to their families. This is nothing but, I believe, is criminal activity. It has to be. I mean, what else would it be? But I believe it's identity theft. What do you think, Robin?
Well,
when
you say criminal activity, that is where we have to draw a line. I mean, and we've got to get that line drawn nice and clear and bright for everyone to see. Because people, doesn't seem to be a line in the guardianship process now. There's no line that says, well, you can do this with them and you can't do that with them. You can lock them away and kill them at whatever pace you want and take everything they own. I think we got to move that line. We can't really have it where it's okay to lock them away and kill them and take everything they own. That's not okay. That's criminal activity. It's murder to take someone against their will into a situation and kill them. What happens at these nursing homes? Let us brutally frank so that no one has any illusions. People are taken into guardianship and they lose the power of any choice over their own life and death. And they can be starved to death. They can be drugged to death. They can be sleep deprived. They could be, all of these things can be done to them. And they are incapable. They don't have the power. Physically can't escape. They are held as prisoners and physically cannot escape the people who are gradually killing them or drugging them every day. They can't escape. They're trapped in a situation.
Right. That's why we have to be the voices for these people.
That's right.
There's nobody else going to stand up for them, and it's,
no one can. No one can get in to see them. No one can get in to speak with them. No one can deal with them other than their persecutors. And
right. It's like they're held in bondage.
They're held in bondage.
It's just not right.
Situation also puts the family of that person into a defensive position immediately, because if you've got my kid, then the only thing I'm going to care about is, hey, you've got my kid. Let my kid go. You can't have my kid. And at that point, the power that you have is the amount of love that I have for my child. The amount of power that you can wield on me is how much do you love your child? And what the courts so often do, we see it over and over and over, mm-hmm. is they will take someone and abuse that person with the individuals who are the family members that love that person, knowing about it, being able to see that that's what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes not, but sometimes sometimes there are individuals who love to flaunt their power and just show the family, look, we're torturing your mother and nothing you can do about it.
Right.
And that'll drive someone crazy. That makes them want to, they'll throw so much money at the court that they will exhaust all of their financial resources trying to save that person from being tortured every day.
There's nothing as bad as knowing that the love for your mother is there and you cannot reach out to her, you cannot talk to her.
Mm-hmm.
I, for mm-hmm. over 3 years, 3 months and 3 days, when we could not see our mother, and the guardians knew where she was. They all knew where she was. And, you know, my brother had my mom, and we had restraining orders against us. I mean, this was a fight that just took everything out of us. We ended up with adrenal exhaustion. We lost our entire inheritance. We lost all the property we had. And you know what? We even got my mom back, my sister and I, even though we both were removed at one time. My sister was removed, you know, for supposedly malfeasance or whatever the heck they drew up. And me, I was a guardian, then they took me off, and he said, let's put your family in there because there might be retaliation in your family. But back then, we weren't as educated what was really going on with these courts.
Right.
You know, if I knew what I knew today.
The genesis of this radio program
mm-hmm.
was because we
mm-hmm.
ourselves much that we said, gosh, if we had known, we would have been better prepared.
Right.
If we had known that these courts are corrupt, that these people are thieves.
If we would have known.
You know, dressed up in suits and ties,
right.
but thieves nonetheless.
Mm-hmm. And not that, but your Marcy, this is important.
Yeah.
The trust in your bills mm-hmm. that people are writing up, these attorneys are writing up, don't even protect families. They are business trusts. I heard that our trust was formed into a business trust. We didn't even know what that meant. And that just makes me so angry because you know what? This guy says that trust would not protect your family anyway. My family paid this attorney really good money for this. You know, so everybody has to be aware that your trust accounts and your wills, they may not be honored in court whenever somebody lands you in court. And you can land there from an unethical brother, you know, social services, you know, a slip and fall. Anything, you fall down the stairs, whatever.
An infected hangnail could take you to the doctor where the doctor says, oh, you might have trouble taking care of yourself with that hand messed up. I'm putting you on guardianship.
Mm-hmm.
And there won't be a damn thing you can do about it.
But we talk. We talk and educate as many people as we can. And we are not attorneys. We are not given advice or any of that. This is real life experiences. That we lost our property. We've seen people lose their moms. We've seen, you know, we've got 50 families here in Colorado, pretty close to it now, that all have the same exact stories as we do, and it's frightful. It is scary sometimes, and a lot of people go through retaliation. They lose their loved ones. We've seen some that they felt that were even killed by these people. So we have to draw the line about what is identity theft and the guardianship abuse, because I think is exactly the same thing. I mean, I think it's identity theft for sure, because you can't just go into a person's life. If you or I did this, I go into someone's life and say, here, give me all your money. The court says it's okay. That's ridiculous. What kind of thinking is that? You know, these courts really need to be put on pause, and people need
predatory.
To speak out. It's predatory.
Predatory thinking
right.
is what that is.
Right.
That's, you know, these people are predators. This is an assault. It's an attack, and it's plotted out. Sometimes they, you know, there. I mean, I know instances where an individual lived right next door to a fella, And the guy was able to handle all of his own affairs. He's mown his own lawn. He's taking care of his own house.
Oh,
he's
yes, this is the one on Facebook. Oh, my gosh, we've been following
and,
that story for quite a while.
And one day, this neighbor sees a couple of people come over, and they're...
His name is Joe.
And they're watching him, and they... and he just looks at him. He thinks, there's something peculiar about those folks. And they're inspecting Joe's home like prospective buyers or something, like they're getting ready to take possession of that house. And he's thinking, well, what are these people doing? I know Joe is not going anywhere. He's lived there for years. Well, what they were doing was evaluating how valuable that individual would be to guardianize.
Right.
In preparation for taking the steps to guardianize that individual.
Exactly.
And that is what they did. It was, you know, they looked at this person. They said, that's a nice piece of property.
Yeah.
They've got a nice car. Wouldn't it be nice to have that property in that car?
Well, they claimed that he had dementia.
Right.
So, come on. So many of our family members are getting dementia. Does this mean that people come into your life and take your property? No. That's why they do trust and wills, and that's supposed to get you through your life, but it's not happening anymore.
Right. Well,
it's fraud what these courts are doing to people.
It's the same thing as the evil-minded sixth grader who sees the kindergartner with candy and says, I'm going to take that candy because I can.
Yeah.
It's the same, you know. It's someone with enough power and strength to do to someone what they want and take from that person what belongs to them, coming in and taking it. And you know, it's if you don't like it, that's your tough luck. I've got my gang of bullies with me, and
mm-hmm.
you're not going to be able to do anything about it. So you might as well just give up your lunch money, kid.
That's what happened to us in school.
Yeah.
That's what happened to us when we used to go to – Robin and I both – we've known each other since second grade, everybody. And Robin and I went to school together. We went through all of elementary school and most of middle school. And we took the same bus and we had the same problems. We went to Smiley Junior High School, and I tell you what, that was a trip in itself. And Robin and I had some scary things there. But, you know, when I think of that – all of that going on, that was we were being bullied then, and now we're being bullied in our lifetime, you know, to give up our property. And you know, they literally come into your life and they just, you know, this drives me nuts. I just get so pissed off when I think about what happened to my family, and that's why I myself am involved with radio shows. I mean, would I ever thought of years ago that I'd be doing a radio show? Never. Never thought, let alone being back with Robin Austin. Come on, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But literally thinking about, you know, people, how they can just come in and do this to you, it is scary. And not only that, but we've had people come up to us and say, I am 50 years old. I'm barely, I've been just taken into a guardianship. We get calls like that all the time. And now what's really scary are these special needs trust people that are getting, you know, lawsuits, and they're getting money coming in, and then the court says you can't take care of that money. We have to give you a conservator or guardian, and then that money is being spent more on a guardian than on the person that has filed the lawsuit that needs to be taken care of.
Right.
So, and it's all going out in fees, you know, and I talk about this all the time, that this is just downright wrong. It is wrong what this is, what's going on. And if it's not for people like us and our families coming to us and talking about it, this is going to be stayed buried underneath the rug, and it's not going to come out.
But yeah, and they're going to continue to abuse.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. If you have to go out and you have to talk to the Supreme Court or whoever you have to, just get out there and just spread the word as much as possible what's going on, because I personally don't see anything slowing down with guardianship abuse or guardians at all. You know, not
I
right
do.
Now.
Do
you?
I do, yeah. I do. I think that the acceleration of the crimes that are being committed by the number of people and the number of people who are committing them has been growing at a very large rate. And I think it's growing at a somewhat reduced rate because of the kind of work that we do here and because of the other
groups
that we're with. I mean, well, I mean, there's evidence that, you know, we there was the public administrator that was relieved of being a public administrator for any new cases was as a result of complaints by individuals. The judge that stepped down early was as a result,
That's true.
Of complaints by people and protests. The Supreme Court justice in Colorado deciding many years before she needed to retire that she wanted to retire. I think that had something to do with the kind of pressure that comes from all of these people that recognize that this is that there's corruption here and crow about it. Let people know, you know, let the world hear that the courts are in bad shape and not doing well and not protecting those they should protect and not providing care for those that should be provided care and stealing from instead of conserving the assets of people. I think when we bring that out and we make noise about it, the individuals responsible recognize that they get closer to prosecution and prison. And I think they do fear that that is a possibility because they know they're doing illegal stuff. They know that they're breaking the law. They know that what they're doing is wrong. Certainly God's laws are, you know, it's wrong to cause this harm to people so that you can profit. And they know that. So when we speak about it, when we bring it out to the public, when they're brought out and it's made clear, hey, these individuals are not functioning in the capacity they're supposed to, and then it's embarrassing, and it creates a certain amount of, you know, difficulty for them psychologically to continue to do what they've been doing, which is harmful to the people that they deal with. And so I think that we are seeing the efforts that we have made and the efforts that those who work with us and who are beside us in the fight have made. I think that there are areas where we're seeing some improvement and some change. Is it enough? Oh, gosh, no. Is it a beginning? I think so, yes. And will it grow? I certainly expect it to because the number of victims is growing every day. And you can only do harm to so many for so long before you have a lot of people that are awfully angry and ready to take some kind of action to stop the abuse. And so you're right in one respect. It is still getting worse, and I think it still has to get worse before it gets better. But I think it's getting better faster at the same time it's getting worse. Does that make any sense?
Well, Marcy, what do you have to say about this?
I think I was just going through Facebook while I was talking to you because I think things are happening. I saw something in Facebook that every day you say, aha. I think there was a bond that was supposed to be, it used to be for $25,000, but the
right.
Senate has approved or recognized that there is corruption, so it's now up to $100,000. I don't know if you guys saw them. I was just trying to look.
I think that was one of our public administrators out here in Colorado. We had a bill where the bond went from $25,000 to $100,000. But still,
right.
What are they going to do about the properties that were stolen for $5 million, $3 million, $2 million? It's like, okay.
But it's
a step in the right direction.
The question was, are things getting better?
Yeah.
And the answer is not no. The answer is not no, things are not getting better. Because they are, in small ways and incremental ways, things are getting better. Does it mean that, oh, well, good, now we can relax? Not at all. The only reason that it's getting better, I believe, is people like us speaking up and making all the ruckus that we can and building a movement of people
right.
who are behind us and with us that say, we're not going to put up with it. We're not going to stand for it. We're not going to allow our public officials, people that we finance their lives with the checks that come out of the public coffers, we're not going to allow them to be criminals indulging in criminal activity satisfying all their criminal appetites while they destroy and harm and hurt our people. We're not going to allow it. And I think there's more people saying that every day. And I think that movement is growing.
Right.
And is it strong right. enough till it's overwhelmed this vested interest that is this gigantic gorgon of, you know, the court system that's out of control, robbing, pillaging, and plundering? Well, that remains to be seen. It
right.
is sort of a David and Goliath story, even if there's 10,000 of us that are fighting against this thing, because there's probably a million people minimum in this country that are benefiting greatly because
well,
of the corrupt
court
system.
There's something like 1.5 million people that are under guardianship. That's a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
When you think about some of these families that are in the millions of dollars, even the
yeah.
small family, you know, you think about that. We did a report here in Colorado where there was we had over 40 families, and 28 families came forward with their information, and there was like something like $58 million that went through probate court, and then it took like these families, 28 of these families. They put in over $6 million to get what was originally theirs, and including one of those was my family. And what happened was is that there was something like $62 million went through the courts, and a lot of it was spent foolishly on unnecessary nursing homes and attorney fees, $6 million for attorney fees, $62 million out of 28 families.
Taken from those families, not spent at their discretion,
right.
spent at the discretion of those courts.
Right. So you think about that, and that's not the other 50, that's only a segment of about 28 families in Colorado. Think nationally how big this is.
Right.
You know,
right.
when you think about that.
Because this is a small cross-section of the families in Colorado who have been through these courts. This is a very small cross-section. We can think of it as maybe 1% of
mm-hmm.
that, you know, because there's a lot of people that go to the courts every day, and the ones that actually contact us is a small percentage.
Right.
So even if it's, let's say it's 1%. Even if you said it was 5%, then
that's 5%
you know,
too many. I mean,
well, yeah.
And
if I'm correct and it's something like 1%, then that means they stole $60 million from 1%.
Right.
Well, that means that 100% of the families in Colorado lost, let's see, that would be what, $600 million or?
Right, and you
oh
know, it's so
God.
Yeah, it's so ridiculous to even pay an attorney.
One state.
A lot of these guardians or conservators, they don't need to be attorneys per se. They can be an accountant doing some of this. Those accountants get $20 an hour, whatever they are, 20, 30, 40. But these attorneys are charging anywhere. In Colorado, to do someone's estate, $200 an hour on up to $350 an hour. Then you got to add on your attorney for your court attorney, your guardian ad litem, your guardian. This is all being paid out of your estate, people. Okay? This comes to where you can go to court, and I saw this one film one day where this lady was in court. She was 82 years old. It cost her $14,000
for that day.
For that one day in court, $14,000. This lady
well,
worked
cost
for
so much. How did that happen?
That because they gave her a guardian ad litem. They gave her a court-appointed attorney, and then they brought their attorneys. And so this one lady.
So the guardian ad litem had a court appointed, had an attorney. That,
yeah, one of the.
And the
yeah.
guardian had an attorney, and the court appointed attorney had an attorney.
There was seven attorneys mm-hmm. there.
And
one
yeah.
woman.
She had no control over her own money, had no control over whether
right.
at court, had no choice but to be there.
And
all those people were getting over $200 an hour.
$14,000 for less than 7 hours in court. They stayed there that long, finding out if she needed a conservator or a guardian at all. I mean, and then they took the money out of her account. Then they did put a guardian in charge, and they dwindled her. All her money was like $3 million, and it was just so unreal, and that's what opened my eyes to guardianship abuse, and that was like 3 years ago we saw that. I posted that. But this is the story that just drives me crazy, is that these people work hard for their money. You know, my mother.
Well,
she
if you're talking about the original,
the
thieves don't work that hard at all. They just lock the person up and steal it all.
Right.
There's
you know,
work involved in that. That's not real work.
You know, and a lot of the people that are getting their money.
Dishonorable work.
Yeah, the money that are, a lot of people I've seen are veterans. You know, people that have worked in war plants.
These predators love veterans. Veterans usually have a real nice monthly paycheck coming in because they served their country.
Mm-hmm.
And that country owes them. Not these predators, not the so-called guardians, not the identity theft people, not the people who have stolen the identity of that individual.
Right.
But that individual served their country. They deserve what they have coming to them. For these interlopers to come in. Crime against all of us.
Mm-hmm. It's a crime against all of us. It really is. And that's why, you know, sometimes we go on to the Marty Oakley show on Monday nights. We've been working with her. And she, the first time I was on the air with her, with Robin, she said that this was nothing but identity theft. And I just sat there, my mouth is hung to the floor. And I'm like, you know what? I have to really think about that because that's exactly, I believe, what's going on. You know, and that's like, oh, my God, could this really be real? Is this form of identity
it's happening. It's a reality, it seems. It is. It's a reality. I don't think it's just identity theft. I think it's the bleeding of person. I'm trying to think. It's financial abuse and exploitation. It's seeing, oh my God, that poor woman like your mother and all of our parents. Oh, she's got a bank account. She's got some properties. Let's go at it. They're like sharks. And I would think, how? My poor mother, she worked so hard all those years. I worked hard in that family business. And this is being done like that first judge. I'm glad I'm not in front of him anymore. I mean, he just like approved attorney's fees and didn't care about where she nothing. He like, sure, pay the fees, pay this, pay that. And, oh, he didn't care. And I'm thinking, there's something wrong with this picture. This doesn't seem right. And you know what? It smells fishy, and it is fishy. And then you start talking about it, and more people come out of the woodworks. And I'm thinking, oh, maybe it happened to me because maybe I'm not, I mean, I went to college. I felt like a normal, intelligent person that could add 1 + 1, you know. But when you think, I'm thinking, how can this be happening to me and my vulnerable mom? If my father would have been alive, he would have gotten that judge on his neck and he would have had a thing or two to tell him. But you know what? they proud on women. They proud on the vulnerable. They don't want to acknowledge that they're not, you know, coherent. And every time I go, I went to Lorenzo's Bakery and I'm talking to this lady. She said, oh, my God, the same thing happened to me. My mom lost everything. And she wasn't mentally there. And this, all the Broward Court, everybody points to the Broward Court, you know. It's abuse. I wouldn't want that somebody. It's painful to see that happening to anybody, and especially the vulnerable.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's just really shocking to see this happening to our nation, you know, and it is, and it's just so sad that these people have to take that, you know, these people are attorneys. They don't have to bow down that low, you know, to you know, I feel that they could do honest work. Come on, you can take care of a person. It's not that hard. You know, you could actually, you know, talk to that person, see what they need, get them what they need. You know, it's not that hard.
You know, the funny thing is, I think that if we had guardians assigned by the court who actually cared enough about their job to go and visit the people and really do take care of the people, actually act as a guardian, actually be there each day and check on them and make sure they have what they need.
That's what I do.
If we had,
They're called court monitors, and I did that for my mom. Nothing positive came out of it. They looked the other way. You know what I think it really is? I think that they are overwhelmed because there are so many fraudulent cases like this.
They just don't have the time. They're overwhelmed, and they just or they don't want to see it, and they don't want to get their friends in trouble. You know, it's all on.
I think that's closer to the. They don't want to get their friends in trouble.
They don't want to get their friends in trouble.
Yeah.
They don't protect. They're not protecting. They're not protecting. I don't feel like my mother was protected. Not one bit. I felt intimidated. And just like you felt about your mom, well, I think what was done to us, this victimization, it's something that now is a seed in all of us that we're just going to keep on trying, and we're not going to give up. That's what's going to happen. More and more people is growing because people get really upset seeing this done to your loved one.
Right.
And it's just not kind. It's not nice. And how legal is it? And how are you protecting that vulnerable person? You know, it's a sick act. It really is. And
I'm going to invite any callers who want to come in and talk with us. Get your pen and paper, 845-241-9962, press 1. 845-241-9962. But I can tell you how it is to be a legal guardian. I was appointed with my sister. Okay, I was appointed with my sister, and we go to the nursing home as much as we can. I swear we're there 3 to 4 times a day. I make sure that my mom's soiled clothes are replaced. I make sure that she has, her shavers. I make sure she has everything, and we spoil her as much as we can. We really do. I bring her pudding, I bring her applesauce, I bring her dolls, we bring her purses. My sister does her nails. This is how they are to be, loved. And if any of you unethical guardians are out there, please stop abusing our elders. That's period. Period. Simple. It's as good as it gets.
When I hear excuses for why this is happening, it really bothers me, because ultimately it comes down to someone is doing something to someone.
Mm-hmm.
And that individual, that someone, is either doing right or wrong in their interactions with a person, or some combination. None of us are perfect. We all do some combination of right and wrong over the course of our lives. But hopefully you have individuals. These are individuals who are making the choice that says, well, I can make a lot of money, or I can do my job in a way that really takes care of the people.
Mm-hmm.
But to do my job in a way that really takes care of the people is going to diminish perhaps some of the amount of money that I'll be able to make doing that job. And so choose to diminish their efficiency at caring for people so that they can increase their efficiency at making money at the cost of the individuals that they care for. And that is it. There, you begin to cross a line that becomes criminal when it turns into abuse.
Right. We're going to bring a caller in. It's a 720 number.
Hello,
yes.
You're Robin and
okay.
Go in. Hi. Uh-huh.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. And you know who I am, because I'm going to say something. When I went to court and I spoke up for Mrs. Thomas.
Right.
And I was told that I would be jailed, because when I spoke up that she couldn't speak for herself and stand up for herself, I was told, you're out of order. And they stole 8 properties from her, and you know who I'm talking about, Luann.
Yes, I do. You're one of our families here in Colorado.
That's right. And then I have an aunt.
Right.
The same thing happened to her. Her business. So again, when is this going to stop?
Gosh, I wish I do. And I know that the person you're talking about, they stole 8 properties.
Yep.
And not only the mother was in the guardianship, but then the daughter was put into a guardianship.
And here she was. Oh, boy. Yes. Uh-huh. And then when she died, they threw her in a body bag and threw away like trash. I almost lost my mind.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh. Now you say you have an aunt going through that, too, now?
I'm sorry. Say that again.
You said you have an aunt going through that now?
Well, she had a business, and
uh-huh.
I will have to talk to you in private about that. But, yes.
Oh,
now, she's 90-something years old, and she's in a beautiful place. But we had to, I don't understand how these people can continue to get over like this.
I don't either. That's why we keep doing these shows, you know, and I've known you for a long time, you know. And it's amazing to keep hearing these stories, and they don't stop. They keep coming in.
No.
You know.
And but I applaud you guys because we got to keep fighting, okay? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for
calling in. Appreciate you.
I appreciate your comment.
I'll talk to you later, too.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. Thanks. Wow. Like I said, that was one of our Colorado listeners. I know her personally, and she had her and her friend. Oh, my gosh. These are wonderful ladies. Oh, my gosh. They went to school to try to one of them took classes for being a guardian. She wanted to go help her friend out, but they said they weren't qualified enough. And one of them was a lieutenant, or I think it was a lieutenant in the service. This lady had so many credentials. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Between the two ladies, amazing ladies. I just love them.
Yeah.
we've done a lot of talking, and this one family, they had 8 properties. I mean, can you 8? And they sold every single one of the mother's house. And then some of the money was given to the daughter. They went after the daughter, and they put her in guardianship.
They took
all of that, too.
They weren't finished with that family. They saw that the money was being handed down, and they didn't manage to take it all.
They
just guardianized the next generation.
Right, and that's the second guardianization that I've seen with. There's another lady that has her dad, that had her dad in there, and then now she has 2 special needs trusts, and they're taking that money from her. So it just keeps going on and on. It's going from generation to generation. And then I know that one family that she just was speaking about, I think some of the grandkids, some of those other kids that are in that second part of that family, they got, I think, a few $1,000s, and they had to sign papers saying that they would not sue the firm for what went on.
Any
inheritance at all.
Because their family had been stripped and ripped of 8 properties.
Right.
Millions and millions of dollars worth of properties.
Right, and in Colorado, this real estate is booming out here. I mean, I bet you that property nowadays was worth $25 million.
Yeah, probably.
All that property. Because you can't even buy a house out here anymore for less than $300,000-$500,000. You know,
houses are up near 300 now.
But the stories that we get in here, so I believe that this is a new identity theft. I really do. I believe that, and I talk to Marty Oakley all the time, and she says it definitely is identity theft. But
she was the one that I first heard use that term for this a few years ago, and it really sort of put me back. I was like, identity theft? What's she talking about?
Right.
But as I thought about it, I realized that's an accurate description that, you know, what we worry about with identity theft is if somebody will gain control of some aspect of our finances and go into our bank account and take money or go into our credit card account and buy things and all of a sudden that money is taken from us. So that's what identity theft. That's how we think of it. Somebody goes and gets our money without our authorization from our accounts or our resources. And this is the most perfect identity theft scam one could cook up. You say, oh, this person is incapable of taking care of themselves. whether they are or not, whether there's any truth to it or not. If they really are, well, all the better. It's great. That means you don't have to lie about that part. But if they're not, you just lie about it, because the whole thing is a scam. It's all the work of a criminal organization. This is what people need to realize. This is the work of criminal organizations, that when a judge is involved in this kind of activity, that judge is being a criminal. He's thumbing his nose at the law. He's thumbing his nose at the country. He's thumbing his nose at his own office and making of himself a criminal against all of those people, sinning not only against God, but against the people who put him in that position and the people who are paying his proper, his salary. So, but that the individual who puts himself into the position of a judge, is put there by whatever means,
right,
has the responsibility to fulfill a public trust.
Right.
And when they do not, when they begin to say, oh, I can make a lot more money under the table by helping my friends to make a lot of money, then you have a situation where definitely criminal activity. Those people.
Okay, so we just got an email. Before we take in another caller, I just got in an email from a good friend of ours. Name is Gil. And it says, hi, Lulu. Instead of identity theft, I think it's more correct and accurate to call it human trafficking of the elderly, which it is. And it's CRS 18-3-5031A, a person who knowingly recruits, harbors, isolates, or obtains by any means another person for the purpose of coercing the other person to perform labor or services, commits human trafficking for involuntary servitude. Read this statute carefully and look up the legal definitions, especially obtains by any other means. Coercing the other person to perform labor or services legally, the other person could be an estate or a family member in addition to the targeted elderly person. It's all how you construct the allegations. Wow. You know, and he says it's the same racket they see with family court, child custody, and child support cases. So, and I know this gentleman, he's got a RICO case going on right now, and I'm going to bring him onto our show to discuss that one day.
Mm-hmm.
But he does make sense of that, and, you know, we're drawing in between the line, but either way, it is super wrong to be doing this. We're going to take in a caller 619 number. 619, you're on the air with Robin and Lulu and Marcy.
Hi.
Hello.
Yes. Hi. Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yes. Uh-huh.
There you are.
Okay, great. Yeah, I just wanted to say that there was something I heard recently. It was called weaponizing. So weaponizing your love for your child or your mother, your family member. It's using that love as a weapon. And I thought that was a really good point when I heard that. So
wow.
I just wanted to, you know, share that. And then also I thought it's kind of like the commodification of people. So you're using them as a commodity to be mined or processed through the system and exploiting them and then, you know, taking their money, holding them hostage where they don't really have the right to not participate. So you're forcing them to participate in the system. And you deplete their time, their money, and their energy, and you kind of co-opt their life. So now their whole life has been diverted from what it was or should have been or could have been to now their life is revolving around the system, you know, the court system that is keeping them there, and they can't escape. So it's like a form of being a hostage, and they're paying for it.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like indentured servitude, only you can't ever pay off the debt. You know, you're forced to what you're told. You're forced to be with who you're with and be where you're told to be, and you're held forcibly in that. And eat what you're given to eat, drink what you're given to drink, and not allowed any freedom. And that's, you know, that's you're right. That is.
Yeah, you know, and we always said that when my brother had my mom, we always called it that he used my mom as a weapon towards us.
Right.
You know, and it is. Mm-hmm. It was really strong language, but I really had to sit down and think about that. But it is, you're right. You're exactly right.
It's the same principle used by, we every once in a while you'll hear in a wartime situation, these people are using hostages as human shields. And we always that, and you know, when you if you're ever listening, you hear, oh gosh, that's terrible, how they're using the people to protect themselves that they've kidnapped, you know, and that's terrible. Well, that's exactly what these courts do as well, because they take hostage a mother or father or loved one of someone and then use that as a shield against the family to say, if you want this person treated well, you have to play ball with us the way we tell you. And
yeah,
and
exactly.
I'm not exaggerating. I am not.
I've heard over 400. I bet you 400 stories myself.
Yeah.
People send me their stories all day long, and sometimes I'm like, oh my God, I don't know if I could hear any more of these stories. It just starts to drive me nuts, and it's really hard to tell people, you know, just hang in there, you know, try to do the best you can. I can hook you up with other family members that are going through this, you know, but it's really hard to sit and listen to these stories every day. But
you're right, caller. It is weaponizing our love.
It is absolutely that. Yeah.
It's under the force of the government. So they've got the government behind them and the force and the authority of the government. So you're just a citizen, and it's under the police protection, the sheriff's department. Everything is against you as an individual. It's not a level playing field. So you're there kind of on your own against this massive system, and you just think, you know, this isn't fair. How do you fight this huge, you know, problem? And then you end up with trauma and the abuse that you go through, the betrayal, the shock that things aren't the way that they're written on paper, that they're supposed to be. They're not following the rules that you have been, you know, taught. And everything is like living in the Twilight Zone. It's like going into another world, and you just, it's in shock. You have so much trauma from the shock.
Yeah. No, that's very true. I remember when I was a child, I used to like to read comics. And in the Superman comic book, every once in a while, Superman would stumble into this opposite world. It was called Bizarro World, where things were the same, only certain things were very, very different and strange.
Bizarro World.
And when I came across this court situation and I realized for the first time how it was functioning, I thought, oh my God, it's like Bizarro World. It's
Kabuki Court.
It's supposed to be a place of justice, and yet it's a nesting ground and a harbor for those who perpetrate injustice.
Right.
And a safe harbor for them. They're protected in that environment.
Mm-hmm.
It really is a backwards. It's like you've gone through the looking glass, and what's up is down, and what's left is right, and what's in is out. You know,
everything you've heard and you've been taught your whole life, that you can trust the system, we have the best legal system in the world, and all of these things goes right out the window when you see what's really happening, and it's not fair, it's not just, it's not rational, and all your money's stolen, and even your own attorney betrays your trust. And that can happen a lot. I've heard so many people tell me that their attorney betrayed them. And
that's
just so,
yep.
It's a horrible thing to go through. And I think it's happening to more and more people. It's like a business. It's a business that's operated, and these courts, I think, have proliferated from the 80s. I was reading or hearing that some places did not have these courts, these family, I'm speaking about family courts primarily, but I know the probate court and the guardianship and all of that. It's all pretty much using people and preying upon them. And so, and using their children, using their parents, their loved ones. And it's just that these courts proliferated in the 80s. They started putting more and more of these courts out there in different locations. And so it's like now that they've got all these, this infrastructure. They bring all these people in, and it doesn't even always have to be a family member that is angry, or an ex-lover or an ex-spouse that's angry and brings you in by filing a lawsuit. It can also be a public agency, like the healthcare agency, or an agency can file a suit, and then you're dragged in whether you want to participate or not. You're dragged in, and you have no right to, you know, if you don't go in, then you forfeit. You forfeit, you know, everything, pretty much.
Right.
So I did. That's all I wanted to say.
They rule against you.
Well, you know, it's good that you get it, you know, because you can go out and tell a whole bunch of people, and hopefully those people will go out and tell a whole bunch of people. And before you know it, this nation's going to know what's going on, okay? Yeah. I don't know how long it's going to take, but we have to get the word out about what's going on. It's a serious situation going on, and it drives you crazy when people call in, you know, call into the show, and they're asking you for help, they're pleading you for help, and you just don't know what else you can do, you know? So
yeah.
I'm glad that you called into our show. I really do appreciate it. You're definitely a weapon. Your loved ones can be used for a weapon. I believe that totally.
Mm-hmm.
I used to say that all the time. What was going on with my mom and my family. But it's rarely a painful thing to go through. It really is. I mean, I cannot believe the stress I was under when my family was this. Oh, my God. Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have to go, but I'm just glad I could call in, and I just wanted to add that because there was, you know, those important points that – you're right, more people need to understand, but they also don't always believe you, you know, when you tell them, because they think everything is working great because they don't know. They just haven't experienced this firsthand. And I think that's something we're fighting against as well, is that kind of ignorance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
thank you for calling in.
Appreciate you. Thank you.
You know, what she brought up is so true.
Oh my gosh.
The way that the courts work is to play you against the members of your family, and they work hard to keep you against the members of your own circle.
I remember one time when I was going to court with my mom was against us, you know, with my family. My other family members took my mom a court against us other children, and I walk into court. My mom, the first thing she comes to me, and she says, "Are you okay?" And I'm like, "You're suing me, Mom." You know, and she didn't know.
No,
she had no idea what she was doing.
Didn't even know that that was something.
And the love my mom has when I go and see her at the nursing home is unbelievable. Mother and daughter love. You cannot break that up, no matter what court you have. No matter what family member thinks that you're going to break them up, that's never going to happen. That mother and daughter bond is strong. You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's so true.
Isn't it?
I said, amen. Yeah. That's so true. My mother made.
Oh, my gosh. You know, and I tell everybody that they're trying to break my mom up. They're trying to break my daughter up. You know, they're trying to take my daughter away. They're trying to take my son away. And I said, you know what? That bond that you have in love is going to last you forever, no matter what you're doing. But people out there that want their family members with them, and it's just not happening. And it's a lot of this is going along with special needs kids, too. I mean, I hear these stories. I just happened to get another story that came in today through my messaging, you know, through Facebook, and another mother wanting their child, and it's so sad to see our country coming to this, you know, and it's, you know, like I say, we can only just put the word out there, keep the shows going, just keep talking about it, and, you know, go and talk to the FBI or go and talk to your senators, and, you know, I've done so much of that. I could, you know, I just send them an email now, and whatever happens, you know. But
that's not true because we do still go and talk to people.
Well, we do go and talk to people, but it's so.
Yes, we do send emails, but we also go and sit down and talk to
them. It's really frustrating, though, when you go to these and like the last time we're there till 5 in the morning, and they just didn't have any respect for our family.
Oh, no. Well, I remember that very well. Yeah, we were before the legislature trying to get a law passed that would put some accountability into the public administrator court-appointed system.
Right.
And and they kept putting it off. They knew that the largest group of people in the courtroom was there to talk about our issue, the one we were there for. We had a lot of people that showed up.
Yeah.
And they knew that that's what all those people were there for. So they waited and kept putting that off and putting that off. And I'm sure that what they were hoping was to thin out the crowd. And
they did.
They thinned out the herd quite a bit because they waited until, just moments before dawn. I mean, it was less than an hour before dawn by the time we all got our chance to have our say. And they're not even supposed to go past midnight by their own Senate rules. But they put us off until, I think it was after 2 in the morning, when they decided to finally listen to our comments. Our public comment period. This is how much our legislators wanted to hear from their constituents. They said, yeah, we'll be happy to hear from you. Come in at noon, and then we'll hear from you, and then you can go home. Of course, we're not going to hear from you until after 2 in the morning, so just wait all day and all night, and then we'll listen to what you have to say. Mm-hmm. Only the problem was, by that time, the legislators were half asleep. They're standing up, heads drooping, trying to stay awake. They're actually snoring with their head back. You know, they weren't listening to anything we had to say. Why? Because they already knew exactly what they were
going
to do.
And they voted our bill down to protect our elders, 110 against.
Right.
It was like
they kept us there all that time.
We came out with
just to slap us in the face and punish us for trying to change things for the better.
That was the Peter Falk bill we were trying to pass here in Colorado, and we had Javon Milton. He was one of our legislators. He's a great legislator. But to keep people out at 5 in the morning, we came out when the birds are singing. That's unreal.
Yeah, we literally walked out of the Senate offices to go back to our car, and the morning birds were singing as we came out. You could hear them. The sun was beginning to rise, and the birds were already singing.
So I just got this other email, you know, from our good friend of Gil, and he said, FYI, that's the underlying charge, and he has a RICO case going on for human trafficking for involuntary servitude. For RICO, in elderly and probate cases, identity theft is not necessarily a RICO predicate act, but human trafficking for involuntary servitude is. So construction, the allegations to include human trafficking for involuntary servitude makes for a strong RICO case.
Huh.
So that's pretty interesting. Well, we're going to probably try to get Gil on probably in the next few weeks or whenever we can.
Yeah, I'd like
have
to
talk
with him about
his
stuff.
He's got a RICO case going on. He's really smart. We're going to be, you know, trying to get him onto our show pretty soon. But, you know, we've got 5 minutes left to our show tonight. We decided to do an hour and a half show tonight. But, Marcy, why don't you go ahead and just give us a rundown. What do you think about our talk tonight? You know, is this identity theft? Is it human? I know it's human trafficking for sure, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think it's all of everything that we spoke about. It's everything. If I would have to say it in a nutshell, it's abuse 101. It really is, because everything that we are all experiencing and we talked about, it just points to that. It's identity theft, it's human trafficking, it's isolation, it's alienation, it's painful, it's not good in any way, and it's just watching your loved one not being treated properly, mentally, emotionally, or physically. And I can't believe that this is, we're all experiencing this, and we're all victims of this. It's very sad, and we need to be out there and keep talking and not give up, because we're making progress, baby steps, but we are making progress.
Yeah,
I agree. It seems to me, Marcy, that it's kind of a legalized form of torture. Basically, it's because everyone I've heard of that has been in this situation, they experience it as a kind of torture. It's torturous
right. mm-hmm.
to have your loved ones
mm-hmm.
stolen from you. It's torturous
it
to have
torture.
Your
it is
belongings.
It's torture.
It was torture. It really hurt my family. It damaged my family. We didn't see over 3 years, and I tell you what, it was so hurtful. I used to go to bed crying at night. I didn't know what happened to my mother. I didn't know where she was, and we were really close. My mom and I were extremely, we still are, you know, even.
And not to mention the tortures that the people who get kidnapped sometimes go through.
Yes.
I know that in your case, the treatment that your mother was receiving was very, very tough, because
rough.
I knew the person who was doing that and what he was doing.
Right. And these guardians, I ended up actually finding my mother remarried up on Facebook to my stepdad, who I did grow to love, though. I found my mom up on Facebook getting married, and I literally went in. I just kind of threw up.
I vomited about 5 minutes later.
I could not believe it. My mom, she's 85 years old, getting married, and I was like, oh my God, I was so shocked.
That's a red flag.
I did get to go see my. We did finally get to see my mom, and we talked to my stepdad, and he knew it was all set up and all that. He knew what was going on in 5 minutes, but I ended up really loving my stepdad. And I tell you what, I wouldn't give that up. He passed away like 3 or 4 years ago, but I tell you what, he was a saving grace to getting my mom back. You know, his name was Raymond Blevin.
The honest truth, if I'm going to tell you the whole truth, the honest truth about him was that he was pretty much a scoundrel. That was why your brother picked him, because he was, he said, hey, look, if you marry my mom, I can get you a nice van. You'll get a nice new van to drive around. And he said, well, and he sort of looked at it, and he thought to himself, well, a nice van would be great, but
mm-hmm.
I'd also maybe could help this poor old lady, because
right.
she's not in a good situation. He could see that. And so he said, yeah, sure, I'll marry her. And,
right.
and that's what he did. Mm-hmm. And the fact that it turned out that he then helped her get back with her daughters and
right.
separated her from the bad situation
and
that she was
sister,
in.
And my sister, one of my sisters actually called up the phone company, and they gave him the number to my mom. He just had that phone installed within hours
right.
of that.
And
my sister found him. It was just God's calling, I'm telling you right now. But that took 3 years, 3 months, and 3 days that we got to see my mom. And I ended up going to Florida, and I ended up walking into a room with a whole bunch of cops, and I looked at my mom, and she sat down at me, and we both just cried in each other's arms. That was one of the biggest days of victory I have ever had in my life.
Mm-hmm.
But my mom looked at me, and I said, Mom, this is your daughter. You know, they called me Looney. Looney, you know, it's your mom. And my mom looked at me, and she goes, Looney? I said, Mom? And we just, boom! Right into each other, and we just could not stop kissing each other.
It was kind of amusing. The policeman had come to evict us from her property,
right?
Because ostensibly she had contacted the police and said, "I want these people out of here." Well, it wasn't. She didn't know what she was doing. That was her brother, your brother. So when the policeman came, he was like, "You have to leave." We're like, but we were invited. This
right.
woman invited us to her home, and that's mm-hmm. why we came. And, you know, she even got us the little badges that let mm-hmm. us be on the property. And he's like, that's weird. That's not what she told me. Let me go get her. And he went and brought her back. And when she saw us, at first, there was a minute where she didn't recognize. And took
because
her,
I had
it's
dark
been
hair.
3 years, 3 months, and 3 days. And the changed, so she did look somewhat
different.
But I'd say
that mother and daughter bond was strong.
When Luann said, Mom, tell me, it's your daughter. She went, Looney? And they embraced. It was very
magical.
Clear that they really loved each other.
It was magical.
And this policeman sort of stood back and looked and said, now I see that
the whole story.
I really can't believe what she tells me.
Mm-hmm. And I looked at the lady in her eyes that took my mom. This lady, she took my mom for 3 years as my brother's girlfriend. And I looked at her straight in the eyes, and I'm sorry to say this, but I said, you bitch, You stole my mom for 3.5 years. How dare you? And my new stepdad held onto my hand. Got to be nice. I don't want to lose you. I just got you.
And meanwhile, on the other side, blows. That's right, yeah.
And it was really a touchy thing. But that from that moment, I gained my mom back that day.
And really, that was the beginning of faith.
That small story is going to be in our book. We got a book coming out soon. Mm-hmm. Whenever we get that done, it's going to be out. You know. But it's really that's why we do these shows, right, Robin and Marcy? Because we see how much needed. We put a lot of families in touch with people.
We care for the ones that are hurting. We care, and that's
we care, and we just want the word to get out that you know your trust and your wills are not safe. Your loved ones, your elderly people, they're just not safe anymore. And if there's some good. You know, stories of trust accounts that have gone well, come on to our shows and tell us about this because, you know, I don't want to
know
how
to do it
right.
Uh-huh. You know, we want to know people who have done it right, people who managed to get it right, things that went well. We want to applaud those who are doing a good job.
Right.
Applaud those who are doing what is right in these situations.
Right. And we're not attorneys. We don't practice it. We don't do any of that. We just speak the truth, these life experiences that we've had. We've shared over 50 stories, close to 50 stories in Colorado about all the fraudulent guardianships and for-profit guardianships and conservatorships that we want to be able to share that with, you know, anybody that wants to listen. And please protect yourself, protect your family. Do whatever you can to not let these people get to be a predator in your life because it is really a terrible thing to go through. But like I say, I want to thank everybody for coming on to the show tonight. This has been a great topic. Please share it with everybody. I'll put this podcast out. You can find all of our podcasts or any of our shows on the Hidden Truth Revealed channel. It's
at
on
Blog Talk Radio
called Hidden Truth, The Hidden Truth Revealed. So it's called Hidden Truth Revealed, and you're listening to The Inside Scoop with Robin Lulu, Faces with Robin Lulu. Thank you, Marcy. We appreciate you coming
Thank
on with
for
us.
Having me.
And
Absolutely.
I just want to say that justice requires transparency and accountability, and please never quit. Just keep talking it out. We want to thank everybody for coming on. We're going to play some music from Danny Tate, who was also put into a conservatorship. We always play his music at the end.
He was kind enough to make this for us.
Appreciate
thank you, Danny Tate, and God bless us, everyone.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. God bless you.